This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
Kia ora. Welcome to another episode of Books Uncovered.
We are talking to you on a very beautiful autumn's day.
It is gorgeous.
It is. And we have a theme this time. Well, we have themes most times, don't we?
We do.
The theme today is about families.
Yeah.
Loosely.
Loosely families, intergenerational stories.
Yeah, which I guess, there's many definitions of families. We've got three books to talk to you about today. What's the first book you've bought in today?
So my first book is one called Mongrel by Hanako Footman. This is actually one my sister gave me for my birthday last year, I think, because she loved it so much. And I finally got around to reading it. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. So this was, I think both of my books I'm talking about today are debut novels, two very strong debut novels. So this is Hanako Footman's first novel, and it was published in 2024 by Footnote Press. And it got shortlisted for the Waterstones Debut Fiction Prize and was also longlisted for the Polari Prize. And I was reading about it, and Footman was one of the several authors who withdrew from the prize to protest the inclusion of John Boyne over his anti-transgender views. So,
oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, power to her. That was cool.
Oh. John Boyne was involved in the competition.
He was also nominated. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And a bunch of people pulled out.
Yeah, shocking that he is anti-trans. Yeah, because, you know, he's a queer writer himself.
So upsetting. When I found that out, I was like, pretty devo. But, I just don't understand how, anyway. talking about Mongrel. So this is a novel that follows the stories of three different women. So there's Mei, Yuki, and Haruka. And Mei is a British-Japanese teenager who is growing up in Surrey in the UK, and she's grieving the loss of her mother, who passed away, and struggling with her identity, particularly what it means to be Japanese in a place where she's constantly othered, while also feeling cut off from her own Japanese culture at the same time. There's also Yuki's story, and that tells us about she's a prodigious violinist who leaves Japan for London and then falls under the influence, or to be blunt, grooming of her older tutor, which is a relationship that completely sort of derails her plans for her life. And then the third story is Haruka, who's living in Japan with her grandparents and navigating grief and family tension, and then eventually Tokyo's nightlife, where she moves to work as a hostess in some seedy bars. So, yeah, I really liked the way that the narratives are structured in the story. So for a lot of the novel, you're not really sure how these women are connected. So there are these little hints and like little flickers of like, oh, maybe they, you know, that's ringing a bell to me. But the full picture only really comes together gradually. And then when it does, it lands really well. You're like, it's like a good reveal moment.
So is it set in Japan and London?
Yeah, set across a few different places. It's not really about this big twist, but it's like that slow dawning realization of how the lives echo each other of the three characters. I did really enjoy the book. I thought where it really worked the most for me was Mei's storyline. I thought the depiction of her being like mixed or diasporic, and she feels really hyper-visible but also quite culturally disconnected, was really sharp and convincing. And I thought, yeah, her character was really alive, and there's that tension I thought was written really well. And I thought she has like a sapphic storyline with her best friend Fran, and I really liked the way that was written. I just thought it was really realistic and handled really well. That I thought was almost handled better than some of the novel's heavier moments of like, yeah, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's really beautifully written. She has really lyrical prose without it feeling too like flowery and overdone. And there's a lot of really beautiful imagery around nature, and the Japanese grandparents' rural home, a lot of that imagery ties back in throughout the story, which I really enjoyed. I will say this book deals quite heavily with trauma, and particularly sexual violence, so which I did struggle a bit with, feeling like it was kind of repetitive and not really fully interrogated. Mm-hmm. And I thought it sort of almost bordered a bit on being trauma porn-esque, which I really hate in a book. Didn't quite cross over into that territory, but I was just a bit like, so just be aware of that if you're going into this book. Maybe read what it's about. Read some of the content warnings.
But
that was my one thing that I was a bit like, oh, I'm not sure about that. But overall, I thought it was really compelling read and a really beautiful novel about grief and the ways women's lives are shaped and often constrained by the people around them, particularly men. So an easy read, but I really enjoyed it and I recommend. But yes, look up what it contains if you're a sensitive reader. But yeah, that was Mongrel by Hanako Footman.
Oh, interesting. It's interesting that you point out the trauma porn aspect, because the book that I'm going to talk about today, the author is Jeannie Cummings, and she wrote a book called American Dirt, which was published in 2020, and that book? Yeah, so that got flagged as being that kind of novel. So I'm not talking about that novel today. But anyway, to talk about Jeannie Cummings, so she's an American author of Irish and Puerto Rican heritage, and she's most famously known for her novel American Dirt. In fact, that's why I bought this book, which I'm going to talk about, called Speak to Me of Home, because a member at the Athenaeum Library recommended her as a fantastic author. So Speak to Me of Home has just been published, 2025, mm-hmm. kind of just. Her previous book was really controversial, and it was on a book, on Oprah Winfrey's book club pick, and, you know, there was a bidding war for the book rights.
Oh, yeah.
It was a real best hit, but the publishers dealt with it really badly. So basically it's about a Mexican migrant who flees like a drug cartel, mm-hmm. To America, and people were saying, what kind of authority does she have to write on something when, she's not a migrant or Mexican. That brought up a lot of interesting things. So this is why this book is particularly about her own family experience.
She's gone, I'm going to write what I know now.
Yeah, kind of like just going total opposite direction. But it's kind of interesting, that notion of, you know, what authority does an author have to write about something that isn't closely identifying with who they are, say, ethnically, or, you know, their gender, or, yeah.
I just was reading another book called Authority by Andrea Longtree, where she talks about, what's her name, Hanya Yanagihara, who wrote A Little Life, which is also heavy on the trauma porn.
Yeah.
It talked about the same thing of, like, her being this cis, I think, straight woman who all of her books contain quite a lot of violence and trauma for, like, particularly queer men.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so it's quite kind of weird.
A, yeah.
Yeah, because this author, Jeannie Cummings, sort of said, there's a quote here. So someone said, why did you write this book? Why? She felt she'd been pushed to come up with a personal link to the story, when really she was thinking, given what was going on at the border, why isn't everyone writing this book? So, yeah, and then she talks about being a bridge and why not be that bridge. So anyway, something to muse on. So, yeah, this book that I'm talking about here, most recent one, is an intergenerational saga following an Irish Puerto Rican family that closely reflects Cummings' own family. I did write out the synopsis for it because it's quite dense. It's a huge book. Mm. It's about 400 and something pages. At the beginning of it, it has a family tree, which I found like a little bit off-putting. I was like, oh, God, am I going to have to keep referring back to the front of the
book?
It's
like one of those huge fantasy books.
Yeah, where it's just like there's so many characters, and you're like, wait, who's this? Who's this again? But actually it worked in quite a natural way. Like, I glanced at it as I was getting set up by the characters, and then you kind of, you get into it. Because I should probably follow my notes here. I'm going to, like, repeat myself. So the character of Rafaela is partly based on Cummings' grandmother, who was born into a well-to-do family in Puerto Rico, a cherished and coddled oldest child, until her family lost everything when she was a teenager and was sent to the U.S. naval base in Trinidad to work. There she met Cummings' grandfather, and the couple ended up in St. Louis with 8 kids. So that's actually the author's real-life story, which is a thread in this book, excepting Rafaela meets Peter and they move to the U.S. and have 2 kids. So the novel jumps around time periods and protagonists. Essentially, you're in the heads of Rafaela as a grandmother, and then her daughter Ruth, and then Ruth's daughter Daisy. So the story starts with a disaster, essentially. Ruth's getting a phone call to say that her daughter's in hospital in Puerto Rico, and then it jumps to Daisy jumping. Well, she gets hit by a car. That's not getting... There's a huge storm and she goes out to do something despite warnings and gets hit by a car. So that sort of set up at the beginning. So that kind of like pulls you through the book of like, well, what's happened to Daisy? Like, is she okay kind of thing? And then it goes into all the stories of like the grandmother and then her daughter Ruth and how the, you know, it's got like love stories within that of how they met their partners. The stories... The novel's populated by siblings and uncles and cousins. She does it quite well, spanning periods of time and locations. But sometimes I found myself wishing that the author could sort of dwell in a time period a bit longer.
Okay.
I found other time periods a bit sort of flat. I am 288 pages in, so I haven't finished this book. And I still don't know what's happened to Daisy. And I'm getting a little bit bored. I'm like, are they going to make it? Because there's a storm, so her grandmother and the mum can't catch a plane to go and see her. So we still don't know if she's alive or...
What the hell's going on with Daisy?
What's going on? And I'm just starting to be a bit over the book by now. And it's still got another 200 pages to go. So, I don't know. It is a really interesting book. I think she does handle the subject matters, which I think are done really well, which is a lot to do with identity and ethnic identity. Living in America, there's a lot of conversation between the children and their mum who moved to America as a 7-year-old, this is Ruth, and was told that they can't speak Spanish at home anymore. And then how they fit into school. And, it's really focusing in on that quite a lot. And I think that's done really well.
Oh, that's good. That sounds interesting.
So, if you enjoy a family saga that spends time with female protagonists and themes such as identity, belonging, social class and privilege, loss and the quest for healing and family and emotional resilience, then you'll enjoy this book, I reckon. But, it's funny after reading about the author and sort of the backlash that she'd had from her previous book. I couldn't help, it sort of tainted, because I read that halfway through this book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting how it's like drawn it into your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Death of the Author, which is something we've talked about before.
Yeah, I think
it's like so. Separating it. But it is a good read. So, that is Speak to Me of Home. I probably haven't done it justice. I'm sorry.
You're going to update us.
Because maybe it ends
maybe it will win you back over.
But I'm starting to think.
You find out what happens today.
Is it going to.
What if you never find out?
Yeah. And it's, it talks about separation and, the parents get divorced and the kids and, I don't know. I'm like, okay. Yeah. It's just a family saga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old classic.
Yep.
So. It's kind of not similar, actually. I don't know why I've said that.
It's got families in it.
It does have families in it. And it's not quite a family saga. So the book I'm talking about, I actually read last year. It's called Home Seeking by Carissa Chen. And this one was one that, when I was still working at the university bookshop, ripped through all the stuff. And everyone was like, I love it. cried so much. So when I read it, and I did really enjoy it. So
did you cry though?
I did cry.
Okay.
Not so much, but I'm quite a hard one to get to cry these days.
Especially from a book.
From a book, it's quite hard.
Yeah.
I'll cry at like an ad on TV or like anytime music is kind of loud.
Yeah.
I cry these days. I'm like, what's that about?
But yeah, a book, crying from a book is a special good thing.
I really love when a book makes me cry.
Yeah.
When it's done well, I hate when it's like a cheap cry. I'm like, a badly written cry. So anyway, this book is Home Seeking by Carissa Chen, and it came out in February last year. And this is also her debut novel, so two really strong debut novels. And so Carissa Chen is a Taiwanese American author, and this is it has a lot about family, but the primary relationship in it is a love story between Su Qi and Hai Wen. Who they meet as children in 1940s Shanghai, and they're growing up together in the tight-knit world of the Longtang, and then they fall in love as teenagers, but then history intervenes, which is specifically the Chinese Civil War, which again was a really interesting book to read. I don't know much about that period of time, so this was a really interesting way of like learning more about that. So Hai Wen makes a sudden and secret decision to enlist in the Nationalist Army, in which he makes as a choice to like support his family who are going through some quite intense difficulties. But in doing that, he fractures his relationship apart with Su Qi, and the whole book is that echoing of that decision throughout their lives. And they have a 60-year separation, and you get carried with them across Shanghai, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and the United States. And so the two characters don't actually reunite until 2008 in LA, when they're older and carrying these like entirely different lives and families and experiences behind them. So where I loved this novel is the structure of it. So what it does is Su Qi's story is moving forward in time from childhood onward, but Hai Wen's story moves backwards. So it begins with their reunion. So it was a really interesting and cool way to write it of like, it's like when people were telling me about it, I was like, that sounds like it would be quite confusing, but
it's like they're moving away from each other.
Yeah, in a way, but like you sort of feel the yearning and like the sense of regret and loss, while at the same time it's like that hope of being young. That makes sense. It just made the writing really a lot more poignant to me. She writes it so well, and it is like that reading hope and regret at the same time, which I thought was kind of a new experience for me. I've never read a book that's structured like this, and I did really enjoy it. So there's that real tension all the time between possibility and then inevitability, because it's like, you know what happens while you're seeing these characters looking forward at the same time. It's pretty deeply invested in identity as a main theme of the book and how that shifts under pressure. So you see the characters moving through different political regimes and cultural contexts, like from the Cultural Revolution and then immigration to America. And throughout the story, their names change and their languages shift. And that's really interesting to see throughout the book as well. So just sort of echoing their sense of self, like changing and reforming.
Similar to the...
Yeah, it is quite similar. Yeah.
Displacement and change of cultural.
Yeah. I thought, and there's a really beautiful through line of grief, like not just for romantic longing, but the grief for like lost homes and lost languages and then lost versions of yourself and visions you had for your future. This real recurring idea of home isn't a place but a network of people and shared memory. Mm. So I highly recommend this book, even if you're not someone that's particularly drawn to historical fiction, which I'm not really. I feel like I've talked about quite a lot recently, but it's not my genre of choice. This reads like a generational family saga, even though it's focused on these two not related people because they're in love with each other. But like, you hear a lot about their families and what they go through and how these two characters' relationships to each other affects their families as well. So, a really beautiful book. It was up there with one of the better books I read last year. So I highly recommend it if you're yeah, a fan or not a fan of historical fiction.
And the name of it again?
So it's called Home Seeking by Carissa Chen.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Yeah. I mean, they are all, there's various interlinking themes within those three books, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intergenerational stories and.
Yeah.
I realised the first book I talked about, the theme is kind of a spoiler for the book, but I won't say anything more.
I'm guessing
that. Whose family? You'll never know.
Oh, so they're all family.
Maybe.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
As I started my other review, I was like, oh, I didn't actually talk about how it's about family because that's a spoiler. So sorry, but you can still read it.
That's right. We could write a little, like, you know, spoiler alert. Yeah. Although maybe we spoil it. We spoil books by talking about them. I don't know. I'm the kind of person that loves picking up a book and not knowing anything about them.
Yeah.
Or going into a film and not knowing anything.
I also love knowing spoilers. Yeah. Sometimes I'll make someone tell me a spoiler because otherwise I get too anxious about it.
And you're like, where is it? Where's the twist?
I'm like, I need to know what happens or I'm not going to be able to keep watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm like, yeah. When it comes to books, I read that first page. I'm a big judgment of book cover and first paragraph.
Yeah, I'm a big cover judger as well.
Yeah, it's funny, eh? I think that's why there's two books I've just bought in at the Athenaeum. Lily King, The Heart.
Oh, Heart the Lover?
The Heart the Lover.
Yeah.
I was reluctant to buy that because I didn't like the cover. But
yeah, I've heard very good things about it, though.
I bought it into the Athenaeum. And there was another one as well where equally the cover wasn't very good. Was it the Madeline Child one with a sheep? It's like a drawing of a sheep. Anyway, it does make a big difference.
Oh, the Lost Lambs one?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
I've heard interesting things about that book. I want to read it. Yeah, it's got I read a really good, I won't call it a takedown piece, but actually it was a little bit of a takedown piece of the author.
Because she's I talked about her briefly when I did that show on here by myself, that she had started a magazine, like, some sort of weird magazine.
Oh, so they're kind of being provocative of, like, saying.
It just seems like a bit vapid and, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, this should be a conversation of me. I'll send you the article.
Yeah, too. But yeah, if you do want to check out the new books in at the Athenaeum, then we've got on our website under books, under recent books, you can see everything that we've brought into the library. And yeah, we buy books for the members. They request things like this book that I talked about today. So yeah. And we've got new opening hours as well. I might have mentioned that last time. So we're open on a Friday now too, which has been really good. And we're coming up, we're organising some creative writing workshops at the Athenaeum.
Cool.
Which has kindly been made possible with the City of Literature, Nikki Page down at City Lit. So yeah. Keep an eye out on our website and social media channels for more information about that because they will be free to attend and they're going to run over a couple of months but be capped at about 10 people per class.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Great.
And they'll be taken by a few different writers. So, yeah, it should be exciting. It is exciting. we'll be back here in 2 weeks' time and I'll have got back
you can
from
do
Melbourne.
A recap of your time at the Melbourne Writers Festival.
Yeah, I just got all my tickets sent through today. It's very exciting.
So exciting.
Yeah. So until then, have a good weekend, everyone.
Ka kite. Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.